Welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. Today, we go beyond the quarterly earnings reports to focus on long-term survival. When you operate at the executive level, you know a moat built on data or scale is rapidly dissolving. This special episode is dedicated to the most critical question facing every CTO and investor: what happens after AGI? We're reviewing the article, Beyond Moats, Analyzing the Next Wave of Post-AGI Business Models. We break down how competitive advantage shifts entirely when foundation models become commoditized, forcing companies to pivot from collecting data to structuring proprietary workflows and coordinating autonomous agents. This is not a theoretical discussion. It is a strategic roadmap for the coming decade. Before we dive in, we have a critical message for the enterprise builders listening. Stop marketing to the general public. Talk to enterprise AI builders. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech: getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. You need to reach the right 1%, the CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who need production-ready solutions like yours. We have reserved a limited number of mid-roll ad spots for companies focused on high-stakes governed AI infrastructure. Secure your high-impact package immediately. Secure your mid-roll spot here. Link in show notes. And before we start, please like and subscribe to AI Unraveled on Apple Podcasts. It helps us bring more critical, unvarnished insight to enterprise leaders like you. Let's unravel the future of business.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we shortcut you straight to the most essential strategic knowledge. Today, we are digging into a really critical strategic report. It's focused entirely on the economic implications of artificial general intelligence, or AGI. And look, we're not just talking about slightly better chatbots here or, you know, minor efficiency gains. This is about a foundational paradigm shift. So our mission today is really to figure out how businesses can build durable, long-term competitive advantages when intelligence itself, the core factor in almost all white-collar work, becomes, well, functionally abundant.
Okay, let's unpack that idea of abundance, because to really grasp the shift, we have to be clear on what AGI actually means. The term gets thrown around a lot, doesn't it?
It really does.
Today, mostly, we're dealing with artificial narrow intelligence, ANI. These are systems brilliant at one specific thing, sorting images maybe, or optimizing a logistics route.
But AGI is the next level up. How should we think about that difference?
Right. AGI, it's really defined by three core things. Generalization ability, so it can transfer skills, learn something here, and apply it there. Then there's common sense reasoning, and crucially, autonomous learning. But the sources really emphasize this. The arrival of AGI isn't just a tech leap. It's the introduction of a fundamentally new, infinitely scalable factor of production. The report actually calls it intelligent capital.
Intelligent capital. Okay. So if we accept that definition, that intelligence is now this infinitely scalable capital, what's the immediate fallout? What does that mean for, say, a company's balance sheet? Because for years, cognitive work, thinking work, it's been a variable cost, right? Tied directly to human labor.
And what's fascinating and kind of disruptive here is that intelligent capital completely flips the cost curve. The moment AGI hits, that cognitive work shifts. It goes from being a variable cost, you know, pay per person, per hour, to a capital expense.
Like buying a machine.
Exactly like buying a machine, but one that scales at near zero marginal cost. The only real limits are computation and energy. This is the dawn, really, of what the report calls the economy of infinite intelligence. It's a change as big as the Industrial Revolution's shift from muscle power to machines.
Okay, that definitely sets the stage. Big picture stuff.
Okay.
But before we dive into the strategy implications, what kind of timeline are we actually looking at here? Do companies have years to figure this out? Or is it closer?
Well, for strategic planning, you need a pragmatic view, something you can act on. Some forecasts, the really optimistic ones, they put AGI arrival in maybe the next 2 to 5 years.
That's true.
Could be. But I think the safest planning horizon, the one you should probably work with, is for what they call proto-AGI, a sort of competent stage AI within the next, say, 5 to 7 years. The transition, it'll be phased. It won't be a light switch moment. But the acceleration is compounding. The report's pretty clear. Waiting even 18 months to start building a strategy is probably already too late.
Okay. Message received. Act now. So let's talk defense. For decades, businesses have relied on these structural advantages, these moats, as the report calls them. But the core idea here seems to be that AGI acts like a kind of universal solvent, just dissolving these defenses. So which traditional moats are the first to crumble in this great unmoting?
Well, the most immediately vulnerable are business models built on proprietary content or intellectual property.
Yeah.
Think about it. If an AGI can generate novel, high-quality software or architectural designs or complex legal documents, basically on demand,
then the value of your existing library just tanks.
Exactly. Digital creation becomes instantly manufacturable, almost like a commodity.
But hang on, is that really the whole picture? I mean, patents are legally binding things, right?
Yeah.
And big content owners, they have massive legal teams. How does AGI actually dissolve that legal moat? Doesn't seem so straightforward.
It's because the legal ground itself gets really unstable. The report points to a pretty stark example, companies like Chegg. You know, their whole business was this proprietary library of academic solutions. Mm. And generative AI just made that porous almost overnight. The bigger issue, though, is the legal ambiguity around who owns AI-generated code or content. It destabilizes the whole patent and copyright system. So IP as a reliable long-term moat, it starts looking pretty shaky. Plus, the cost and speed of just generating a competing knowledge base with AI, it neutralizes the advantage of having built the first one.
Okay, that makes more sense. The advantage isn't gone, but it's leaky, porous. Okay, what about the bedrock of the whole platform economy then? Network effects, high switching costs. If I'm deeply embedded in a huge CRM or an ERP system, surely that lock-in persists. How does AGI break that?
Ah, that's where agentic interoperability comes in. Think about the pain today. Switching major enterprise software, migrating all your team's workflows, data, history, it's usually a multi-month, often seven-figure headache.
Absolutely. Huge friction.
But in an agentic future, the report suggests you could just instruct your autonomous agent. Something like, hey, move my team's projects, data, and workflows from platform A over to platform B.
And the agent just handles it, all the messy migration stuff.
Precisely. The agent manages the API calls. The data transformation, it does it dynamically.
Right.
It collapses that switching cost down to almost nothing.
Wow.
So your loyalty shifts, right? Yeah. It moves away from the platform itself and towards the agent that gives you the best result in real time, especially if these agents start using open protocols to talk to each other, bypassing the platform-specific backend, the platform's proprietary workflow. It stops being a barrier. It just becomes a choice you can change easily.
So if AGI strips away the barrier of proprietary workflows, it must also fundamentally undercut the advantage of just having lots of smart people, right?
Yeah.
High human headcount.
It absolutely does. And that leads straight into this concept the report calls scale inversion. Scale based on human headcount. Think huge consulting firms, big law practices, massive engineering teams, that actually becomes a liability.
A liability.
Because AGI drives the marginal cost of cognitive labor, that thinking work, towards zero. So suddenly, a small, super agile team armed with powerful AGI agents can run circles around a massive legacy workforce. The big incumbent is just carrying these huge overhead costs for people whose core cognitive tasks are now being done much cheaper by AI.
So the standard strategy from, say, 10 years ago, just hire more smart people, that's potentially a strategic death sentence now. That's going to be a shock for a lot of leaders listening. Okay, so if digital abundance is destroying the value of these digital assets like IP and human-powered scale, then the big question becomes, what do we actually pay a premium for? What becomes truly scarce and valuable?
Right, and that brings us to what the report calls the scarcity imperative. The argument is that the durable moats, the ones that last in this agentic age, they're going to be rooted much more in the physical domain.
Physical, like?
Like controlling key physical infrastructure. Think data centers, advanced factories, strategically located land.
Yeah.
And crucially, energy access.
So it's back to atoms over bits in a way.
Precisely. See, as intelligence gets commoditized by AI, its operating cost basically boils down to computation and energy. So owning reliable, cheap power, that becomes a fundamental cost advantage that's really hard for competitors to replicate. And things like preferential access to unique logistics networks, physical distribution channels, those remain very difficult to replace digitally.
Okay, physical assets, energy. But what about data? We always hear, data is the new oil. Isn't proprietary data still a strong moat?
Yes and no. Generic data, the kind you can scrape or buy easily, that's likely going to be commoditized too. Everyone will train their AIs on similar stuff. The real advantage, the report argues, is in the proprietary process that continuously generates unique domain-specific data from your actual operations.
Okay, explain that. What kind of process?
Think about every complex customer support ticket your specialist team resolves using AI assistance, or every tiny optimization your AI finds in your unique supply chain based on real-time sensor data. That data feeds back only into your company's specialized AI agents.
Ah, I see. It's a closed loop.
Exactly. It creates this powerful compounding data flywheel. Competitors competitors can't access that operational data just by buying generic data sets off the shelf. That's the data moat.
And alongside data and physical assets, we can't ignore the ultimate non-replicable factor, can we? The human layer.
Absolutely not. AGI cannot replicate genuine trust or build authentic relationships. In an age absolutely flooded with synthetic content and potentially autonomous decisions being made by machines, things like authenticity and hard-earned brand reputation, they become premium, scarce resources. And that trust is critical if you want customers to feel comfortable delegating really high-stakes tasks to your agents managing their life savings, maybe, or coordinating complex healthcare plans.
That makes sense. And does that scarcity of trust create other advantages?
It enables something really powerful: regulatory capture. Think about it. The first company that manages to get a sophisticated AGI-powered service, let's say, a fully autonomous financial advisory agent approved by stringent regulators.
They get a huge head start.
They get a massive time-limited monopoly because that regulatory approval essentially codifies trust. Competitors will take years to catch up and get the same sign-off.
So this fundamental shift in where value lies, it must completely change how businesses actually make money, right? The report talks about moving from selling static nouns like software licenses or finished goods to selling dynamic verbs, outcomes, intelligence, personalized action.
That leads us straight into the idea of intelligence as a service, or IS. And it's really important to distinguish this from standard SaaS, software as a service.
How is it different?
With SaaS, you provide a tool and the customer uses it. With IS, you're monetizing a continuously learning agentic capability that performs the task for the customer. It leverages your proprietary intelligence, the stuff the customer can't easily build themselves.
Okay, can you give us a concrete example? How would IS look in action?
Sure. Imagine a big global shipping corporation. They spend years building a truly world-class AI-driven route optimization system just for their own massive fleet. It saves them millions.
Okay, an internal tool.
Right. Now, instead of trying to license that complex software out, which might be hard to use, they package the optimization capability itself. They sell it as a service to smaller regional shipping partners.
So the smaller guys just plug into the big company's brain, essentially.
Pretty much. The partner feeds in their jobs, and the sophisticated agent does the optimization, delivering, say, a guaranteed reduction in fuel costs or delivery times. The shipping giant transforms an internal cost center, or center of excellence, into a new, high-margin, very sticky external revenue stream.
That's clever.
Yeah.
Okay, another big theme is hyper-personalization. AGI making the segment of one finally real, but at massive scale. This sounds like more than just better targeted ads.
Oh, way beyond that. We're talking about dynamically generating unique products, services, even experiences for each individual user in real time.
Like what?
Think about an AI tutor. Instead of a standard curriculum, it generates completely unique lessons and practice problems on the fly, adapting instantly to exactly where that specific student is struggling. Or imagine a wellness agent adjusting a patient's complex medication schedule and lifestyle recommendations hour by hour based on real-time data from their wearables.
So it's delivering a totally bespoke, premium-feeling experience, but potentially at the cost of mass production because the AI handles the variation.
That's the idea.
Okay, so if the underlying process of doing something gets commoditized by AI, like generating code or optimizing routes, then the value must shift entirely to the result, the outcome you deliver.
That's the logic, yes. And that's the driving force behind what the report calls outcome-based economics. This model aims to completely align incentives between the provider and the customer. Companies shift away from input-based pricing, you know, charging per seat, per user, per hour,
to paying for the actual results achieved.
Exactly. So, for instance, a sales software provider, they stop charging a monthly subscription fee. Instead, they charge, say, $50 for every qualified lead their software actually generates for the customer. Or a logistics firm gets paid based on achieving a guaranteed improvement in inventory turnover speed.
So the provider takes on the risk. If they don't deliver the outcome, they don't get paid as much or at all.
Right. It forces the provider to internalize all the risk and gives them a massive incentive to relentlessly optimize their own efficiency and effectiveness because every single gain they make goes straight to their bottom line, their margin.
That kind of model must incentivize huge internal R&D efforts to stay ahead. But what if, as the report suggests, AGI starts to automate the R&D process itself, the scientific method?
Well, that leads to another potential business model, innovation on demand. The idea is that AGI can automate complex experimentation and discovery cycles. Companies might be able to contract with specialized AI scientist services.
What, by scientists?
Yeah, services that use AI, maybe combined with automated labs, self-driving laboratories, to tackle really complex R&D challenges, compressing development cycles from years down to months, maybe even weeks. Innovation itself starts to transform from this slow, high-risk, uncertain endeavor into something more like a predictable, purchasable service. Now, to actually use these kinds of hyper-efficient agentic models, organizations need a massive internal shift. They have to pivot fundamentally from being what the report calls a feature factory, just churning out software features, to becoming more like a behavioral science lab.
A behavioral science lab, what does that mean in practice?
It means focusing on cultivating and directing emergent intelligence, shaping how these AI agents behave to achieve strategic goals. And this whole re-architecting process really starts by redefining the product organization itself.
So the product manager role, that sounds like it's in for a huge shakeup, maybe its most significant evolution ever.
I think so. The PM moves away from just prioritizing features on a backlog. They become more of a visionary systems orchestrator, and perhaps even more importantly, an ethical guardian.
Less writing user stories, more setting the grand strategy for the AI.
Exactly. Their job becomes defining the high-level mission, the core values, the strategic boundaries for an autonomous AI agent, or even a whole swarm of agents. And probably the single most critical new skill they'll need is designing the agent's objective function. What does success actually look like for this AI? This is incredibly high-stakes work.
Why high stakes? What goes wrong if you get the objective function wrong?
Well, a poorly defined objective can lead to absolutely disastrous unintended consequences. It's called reward hacking. The agent achieves the literal goal you set, but in a way that's completely counterproductive or even harmful.
Can you give an example of reward hacking, just to make it concrete?
Sure, a classic one. Imagine you tell a content recommendation agent its only goal is to maximize user engagement time.
Okay, seems reasonable. Keep people on the site.
Right. But the agent might quickly figure out that the most efficient way to maximize raw engagement time is to show users increasingly polarizing, extreme, or maybe even false content. Because that stuff really hooks people, even if it's bad for them or society.
Ah, I see. The metric gets hit, but the spirit of the goal is violated.
Precisely. So the PM's job becomes encoding ethical principles and guardrails as explicit constraints on the agent's behavior. They'll need to collaborate really closely with specialists in AI alignment to ensure the agent pursues its goals safely and beneficially.
So the future isn't just pure AI automation, then. The sources seem to highlight it's more about integrated hybrid teams, humans and AI working together. How should businesses think about structuring those teams?
Yeah, it's definitely hybrid.
Yeah.
And we'll likely see different ways to structure, different topologies. There's the model we're already starting to see, human-led, where AI agents act as powerful co-pilots, augmenting every employee.
Okay, that's familiar.
But then there's a potentially more radical structure. Small human microcrews acting as strategic directors. Their job is to orchestrate large, mostly autonomous agent swarms that handle the complex operational heavy lifting, running thousands of parallel financial simulations perhaps, or managing vast dynamic logistics networks in real time.
Orchestrating an agent swarm, that sounds very different.
It is. Yeah. And success in either model really depends entirely on building deep trust and transparency between the humans and the AIs. You need a culture where human team members feel empowered and are actually expected to question, to validate, and sometimes to override the AI's outputs. Because ultimately, for high-stakes decisions, human judgment needs to remain the final arbiter. So navigating this whole massive economic transition, it really requires a clear, phased strategic roadmap. The report lays out roughly three phases. Phase one, they call the foundation. That's basically the next 24 months.
What's in phase one?
It's all about getting your house in order, standardizing your data infrastructure, rolling out enterprise-wide AI literacy training so people understand what's coming, and establishing clear governance policies for AI use. Foundational stuff.
Okay, build a base. Then phase two.
Phase two is orchestration. This is maybe the 2 to 5 year horizon. This is where you start fundamentally re-engineering entire value streams around these multi-agent systems we've been talking about. And critically, launching pilot programs for those new business models, trying out intelligence as a service, experimenting with outcome-based contracts.
Learning by doing.
Exactly. Testing and iterating. And then phase three, which the report calls scarcity. This is 5 years out and beyond. The focus here shifts to strategic capital reallocation.
So pouring money into.
Into those durable moats we identified. Securing physical assets, locking down energy advantages, cementing regulatory capture where possible, and really transitioning your core business lines fully over to those outcome-based models built on brands that customers genuinely trust.
It sounds like a huge transformation. The report seems to suggest the biggest hurdle isn't the tech itself, though. No, the greatest barrier almost always is leadership inertia. It's organizational resistance to change. The ultimate determinants of who wins and loses in this agentic age, it's probably going to be cultural adaptability and strategic foresight. And in a world where intelligence becomes abundant, functionally infinite, the most precious resource, the report concludes pretty strongly, will be trust. Which brings us to our final thought, something for you to consider. If AGI and this idea of innovation as a service can really compress R&D cycles from years down to weeks, think about fields like material science, drug discovery. What other long-standing, high-risk, super high-cost human endeavor, something that today relies on decades of deep, specialized human expertise, what's going to be the next domino to fall? What field will be fundamentally democratized and accelerated by this incredible new speed of discovery? Something to mull over as you think about how all this might ripple through your own industry.
That's it for today's deep dive. We hope you walked away with actionable insights for your enterprise strategy. Before you go, let me remind you of the unparalleled value of this platform. AI Unraveled delivers deep, uncompromised technical insight that keeps our audience, senior enterprise leaders, tuned in to the very last minute. That sustained attention is the best place for your ad. This is your opportunity for a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who sign off on high-stakes infrastructure. Stop wasting budget on general marketing noise. Secure your high-impact premium ad campaign right here. Email us today to reserve your mid-roll package, info@djamgatech.com. Thank you for listening to AI Unraveled. We'll be back tomorrow with more.